Normally, this is when Gustavo comes. Now, Gustavo's here, but he told me he wasn't going to be here. So I went ahead and told him, Gustavo, I got this. Normally, for those of you who are guests, Gustavo comes and does a segment of our message and really paraphrases the message in Spanish. We have a number of people whose English is second language, and they appreciate understanding where I'm going because I begin to speak a little fast, and people just kind of wonder where I'm at. But I have this morning, so I told, you know, Gustavo, just sit there, enjoy. Let me carry the Spanish translation of this service today. And he said, no problem, though he looked cross-eyed at me. So let me begin. Buenos dias. Great. Now let's go on to the message. Okay. I love you, Gustavo. Okay. You know, we're glad that you're with us today. And I was telling the first service, and some of you may have been able to. There's days when you come. I mean, I always look forward to coming. I mean, I just come and, you know, I love the people. I love you folks, most of you anyway. And no, that's not true. Okay, there was one that I didn't, and I, you know, he speaks, so no. No, Jeff. But this morning, and especially in the first service, you know there's days when I enjoy seeing all of you walk through the door. And there's some of you here this morning that I could tell, though I won't embarrass you, that you know what, you just blessed my day by being here today. As you come through the door, it just kind of says, God, no matter what else happens today, I've just been blessed. And there's some Sundays that do. If you're a guest today, you got to know that every time we have guests, every Sunday we have guests. And as you walk through the door, it just blesses our heart. It blesses my heart. But this morning in the first service, there was a person who walked through. And I got to just tell you, as I looked across, and as Annie Mock walked through that door, I just said, it doesn't matter. I mean, Annie has been suffering with cancer and different things, but she walked through that door, looks good, worshiped with us, and just blessed the Lord. And it just kind of made my day. It didn't matter what else was going on. And just to see her and John, for them to come and then just to be mobbed by those of us in this community who love them and care for them, and it's amazing. It really reflected today for me, because today we're talking about building authentic community. Now, from the first of the year, we started looking at the things that we need to beat in our life. What are the things we need to beat? We need to beat busyness. We need to control the schedule. We need to stop. This busyness factor is crazy. Everybody is busy. We prioritize. So we went through the whole process of those things that we need to beat. Beating busyness, beating bitterness, beating the burden of financial bondage. We need to get out from under that. All the things that we need to put aside. Beating the blues and depression and those things. And then we started looking a couple weeks ago at what do we need to build? If we need to put those things aside, what are the things that we need to build? And we started with building the foundation of confidence. Of confidence in Christ. Who we are in Christ. To look at our life and build confidence in faith in God, build confidence in trust in Him. We look as well at building relationships. We look at Bell as well. And today I want to talk about those things, the foundation of building an authentic community. To build an authentic community, because we are a community. Now, within that, we must understand that community necessitates relationships. Community necessitates relationships. Relationships. Let me give you a little history here. We're going to be looking at passages today, and two major passages. And one of them, the first passage, comes out of 2 Timothy. Now, as we look at that, you're going to see that between 1 and 2 Timothy, this is Paul's last writing. This is his last letter. Paul is just really short time away from going to the third mile marker down and getting his head lopped off. He's going to lose his head. And in 2 Timothy, he is writing. This is his final words, his final remarks. And as I looked at this, as I thought about what we need to build in community, here's Paul. We would look at him as the hallmark of the Apostle Paul, you know, Jesus Paul, you know, right in kind of that order. Now, Paul never does that. We do that. But if you look at Paul's life, of all the things that he had done, all the missionary adventures, all the open doors that he went through, all of the stories that he could tell, the dialogue, the narrative that we have of Paul's life, of all the great things, and he comes to the end of his life, and as he begins to write, he writes not of all those things, he writes of his community of people. He finishes his writing with remembering people, his community, not things. I do a lot of funerals. Many of you know that there's many people who are not involved in church. And it's unfortunate today, but if a person's not involved in church, many pastors won't touch them. If you're not involved in church, I'm not going to do your funeral. Now, even yesterday I had a great opportunity, though I can't share with you exactly how. Saw the wonder of God in a wondrous moment. Just, it was amazing to me. But I'm telling you what, as I do funerals, and as it comes to time and sharing, seldom have I seen, never have I seen, though there was one guy who was buried in his Lincoln out there in Farmington someplace, when they have share time, I never hear, here, let my Rolls Royce talk to you. That's not going to happen. When it comes time to make it a service, what they need to hear is from people who's interacted with their life. They want to hear of the memories and the sharing that they took place. Because our life is about the relationships. And community here necessitates relationships. We need authentic relationships. And in this community of the church, the people of his life. And yet some come to church with this idea of isolationism. We have some guests here today. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to make you stand. Though we could ask for your social security number and your bank account and all that stuff. But if you want to give that, that's fine. No, just to you. But you know what? My hat is off to those. Some of you, all of you have been in that role when you've gone to the church for a first time. How uncomfortable it can be. How it'd be easy to say, I just don't want to do that. But God did not create us for isolationism. God created us for community. God wants us to live in community as a fellowship, as a body of believers. Within this community, he created that way. And to build authentic community. We have a community here. I don't know how authentic it is at times. However, most in this church, I will tell you, I think we are more authentic than any I've ever been in, probably because what you see is what you get. But within authentic community is opposite of isolation. It is involvement in this community. It is imperfect people. It is people who are struggling, and yet struggling, but pursuing. It is people who are real, but in the same realness and in our faithlessness and in our failures, we are striving to change and be transformed by the renewing work of God in our life. Positionally, we are in Christ. If you know the Lord today, your position, he has justified you. He has sanctified you. It's not of your works. You can get off your spiritual treadmill. Step aside. Take a rest. But in the community that we build here of people, it comes that it's about relationships and it necessitates that. It involves, really, involvement. That's why we push life groups so hard. Doug is in the back there. He's been at the table, life groups. We are a church not with life groups. We are a church of life groups. Why? Because that's where authentic community takes place. Right now, we're not having authentic community here, not in this way, because there's no conversation going on. I'm talking, you're listening. Hopefully, I will encourage you that you will start to have a conversation in your heart between you and the Lord. I hope that takes place. And that from this, we have conversations together as those around us and those that we come. But the reality is life group is where that dialogue takes place, where you create this environment of community. That is why we push life group so hard, because that's where real life starts. It even has impact in the philosophy of this church, because the philosophy of my heart, coming from a large church, that was not my gift set. So as we started this church, the reality is we wanted to get to a certain point to where we could still maintain community. And then as we grew past that point, we start another church. Thus, we have Tracy Church going now. Why? Well, we could have kept everybody here and had a great big family. The problem is we start to lose the community of our church. We have people that will walk in that we will not know, and they can come and they can be anonymous, and we don't want that. We tell our greeters, don't just greet, meet. Meet people. What's their names? Who are they? Where are they from? Be conscious and cognitive that they may be uncomfortable, but we have to let people know that we noticed them. We want nobody walking through any of the doors you get into this place and be able to walk in, slip out, and no one noticed them. I hope our guests today, they realized, I hope they felt, I hope that you as this community did your job, not just Paul or mine. I hope you did your job to overwhelm those who are walking through the door, that you don't have blinders on and say, oh, it's about my little clique and here I go, or it's about my little life group. No, in this, it's a community and people need to be noticed. We need to let them know we noticed you. Some will be uncomfortable. We have those who won't come back because we do notice them. They want to be able to walk in and slip in really anonymously and come and go with no one ever noticing. That's not going to be our heartbeat. It's not my heartbeat. It's not our church heartbeat. Relationships necessitate, community necessitates relationships, and relationships necessitate, unfortunately, people. Some of you would love to have community if it didn't involve people. Let me tell you, I'm your pastor. I can say that about some of you, believe me, or, you know, relationships necessitate people. And for some, that's a burden. Because where there are people, there are opinions. Where there are people, there are personality issues. Every type of relationship, every type of community, we need to have, understand that it necessitates people of all types. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we start with verses 9 to 11. Paul is writing to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to my ministry." Now that sounds just like a really good verse, that's great. But there's people in every situation, in every community, in this community, to build authentic relationships, we will need to understand that there are going to be people who disappoint us. Why? Demas disappointed Paul. You can go back and see where Demas was with Paul, building churches. But he loved the world and went back to it. It may have been that he couldn't count the cost. I don't know. It doesn't really say. But Paul was disappointed in Demas. But what's really telling about that verse is at the end of the verse, he says, "Bring Mark with you." Now go back to the book of Acts, go home, read the book of Acts, find out the missionary journeys, and you're going to look at initially Paul and Barnabas had missionary journeys, they were going to take Mark, and there was a conflict made. Paul was disappointed in Mark, didn't want Mark to go. And in fact, the rift was so great that Paul and Silas went one way, Barnabas and Mark went another way. There was a split. And yet here, somehow between that split and the end of his life, Paul had reconciled with Mark, saw the value in what Mark was doing, and in fact, at the last of his life, soon to be dead, said, "Would you bring Mark with you? Because he's a valuable servant in the ministry of the gospel." There are going to be people, folks, in every church who disappoint us. You're going to have people who disappoint you in a community. And if we're going to build authentic community, you can't just walk around with your mask on and say, "Oh no, everything's happy. How are you today? Bless God, everything's great, great, great. Jesus, Jesus, yay, God, go, boom." Because sometimes that's just not life. And as we come, there's people who disappoint us. And yet people get disappointed. "Oh, I don't know." And the reality is, guess what? Pastor disappoints the people. Of course, I'm talking about Pastor Paul, not me. But no, I take the bear of that one. I'm going to disappoint you. I am going to let you down. There are people who have left this church because I disappointed them. Because I didn't speak to them on a Sunday morning. Some of you have that. "Well, Pastor didn't speak to me today." I don't know why, with just 10 of us here, why I didn't get to everybody. I don't know why that happens. Or you weren't on time. I was having a need and you didn't show up right when I needed you. We will deal with disappointments. And we, as I will disappoint you, guess what? You will disappoint me as we come and say, "Can you do this? Will you do that? Will you serve? Will you do these things? Can you see how you're treating this or doing that?" And you'll say, "Oh, well, that's okay." But in every community, if we're going to build authentic community, folks, we have to look at disappointment and saying, that makes them the character of who God is, and how we can be God to them, and how we can value them the way God does, and that we offer. And how do we deal with people who disappoint us? We deal biblically as with love and grace. We deal with love. "Okay, that person disappointed me. I'm going to respond in love. I'm going to respond with grace. The way God has forgiven me, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to offer grace." It's amazing to me because we have life groups here, and I'll hear from personal come and say, "You know what, man, we have a person in our life group." You know, Doug and I laugh about this at times. We have people come and say, "Man, that person in my life group, that person, the leader will, or somebody will come and say, that we have a person in our life group who just, man, they're weird, or they just dis-." And we turn around the next day, that same person, the other person comes and says, "We got this person in our life group who's just weird." And we sit back and say, "Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? Isn't it great?" And sometimes it's, isn't it great that the leader has to deal with that and not me? But isn't that great? Because people are going to disappoint us. And within that, we need to deal with love. Love never fails. Speak in love. It never fails. And graciousness will never fail. And if you see someone who has a disappointment, maybe you just need to practice the essence of forgiveness. practice the essence of saying, listen, they don't have to be just like me. There are some things that we can disagree upon, and it's no big deal, because that's the other issue. There are those who will disagree with us. 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. Now, we really don't have a whole lot of information as you search the word about Alexander. We know that he was a metal worker. We know that he did a whole lot of damage to Paul's ministry. Some believe, and they will lay this out, I don't know this, but some believe that in fact it was Alexander was the reason why Paul currently was in prison waiting to die, that he had betrayed him and he was there. Many believe that Alexander, and I tend to believe this, he opposed the message of grace. Alexander was one who felt like that the law should be preeminent, and especially those who are not of Jews, that they should come to the issue of having to obey the law. It was a legalistic issue. Either way, Paul and he had conflict, and they disagreed. They disagreed. And Paul had left the issue, as we had even looked at in the things that we need to beat, that God says, listen, leave those kind of things to me. Don't become vengeful. Don't become bitter. Leave the eternal scales to me. But there are those who will disagree with us. There are those that will say, you know, now, and in some sense, in the issue of there's people here, there's some things that we disagree upon. Some things you come in, some of you will have theological issues that you may think you really feel strongly about and you disagree with me about, and I may say, you have every right to have that, and that's not a hill that I'm going to die on. I'm going to love you. I want you to come. I'm going to love you. I hate the lie today in our society that says if you disagree with somebody, you don't like them. I hate that lie. You see it politically, you see it spiritually, you see it in churches, you see it in every... If you disagree with me, you don't like me. What is up with that? Grow up. We can disagree. Now, there are some things, though, that when you disagree with, we need to deal with them with love and with grace. But there will be some times when you must deal with them with courage. Especially as those from the world, when the world disagrees with us, or if somebody, as Paul says, when we look at the issue of our own salvation, all the way through the word, we're told to submit, 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 submit. Submit to God, submit to the Lord, submit to others, submit to your spouse, mutual submission. Submission is key, except in one area. Do you remember what it was? Do not submit in this area. What was it? The gospel. If any man comes to you and says it's by some other way, other by grace through faith, don't submit to that teaching. And sometimes in our politically correct world, there are some things, there are just some things that's not worth, that hill's not worth dying on. There's a lot of theological issues, pre, mid, post. I don't, you know, hey, whatever you want to do, okay? I pray it's pre, I prepare as if it's post. That's just the way it's going to be. But the reality is when it comes to the gospel, those are the things we don't submit upon. And sometimes we need to be courageous enough to say, I'm not really concerned. I want to say it in love and I want to say it with grace. But God's word says this is the truth. In love. And when we disagree, even in this community, building authentic community, you need to understand that there will be people who disagree with you. And that's okay. It is okay. But there's another group of people in this community as well. And that is the people, those are the people who deepen us. They deepen us. They challenge us. They cause us to think. They will assault our minds to challenge our heart. They deepen us in our walk with God. They're Hebrews where they encourage us and stimulate us to good works, and they stimulate us to work out our own salvation, not for salvation, but to see that salvation played out in the world. They challenge us to do that. How do we deal with those people? You listen. We listen. When we listen to wise people, we want to listen to the wisdom that they bring. We want to listen to the wisdom that they have. Relationships necessitate people. And people, boy, do we know this. People necessitate love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Love never fails within that. It necessitates, when we deal with people in this community, We're not always going to agree. We're not always going to, there's going to be disappointment. And it necessitates loving each other on an agape level, loving each other in that 1 Corinthians level, all loving our, that love is all these things. We are never, listen, I'm going to say this, and I want you to get it. I'll probably say it twice. We are never more like God, not God, but more like God than when we demonstrate who he is in the way we act or react. We are never more like God than when we demonstrate who he is by the way we act or react. 1 John 4:17. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. We are to be the visible representation of Christ to this world. We are to be salt. We are to be light. We are to be love. We are never more like God than when we demonstrate the attributes of God to the world who needs to see him. So when we demonstrate that God is love and we demonstrate that attribute through our life, we become the visible representation of that. When we demonstrate forgiveness as God has forgiven us, so we forgive others. When we demonstrate that, we are therefore never more like God than we do that. When we demonstrate grace, when we demonstrate healing, when we demonstrate the issue of loving and valuing people, we are never more like God when we value them the way he does. It necessitates love. How do we love? Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. It says, if anyone says, I love God yet hates his brother, he is a liar. I softened this a little bit, you know. Both of these verses as we come, he says, how do we love? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The Pharisees had asked him, what's the greatest commandment? They were trying to trick him. What's the greatest commandment? Ah, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, everything hangs on these two commandments. To love the Lord your God, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, sometimes we like to leave off the issue of as yourself. How do we love ourselves? There is a proper view of self-love. It is not arrogant. It's not puffed up. It's not proud. It is 1 Corinthians 13. It is when we see ourselves the way God does, when we value ourselves the way God does, when we see that what God has made us in us and through us, when it's all about him, when we see that God values us and has given us grace and forgiveness, therefore we turn around and we can do that to others. So we love our neighbor as God has loved us, how he has loved us. That's how we're to love them. And that's how we're to see. The first verse that was there just a minute ago, the reality is some of you are liars in this room. Because it says, if I love God yet hate his brother, he is a liar. I didn't say that. Paul's saying that. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. It's pretty simple. We say we love God, well, we don't really see God except in the display of his nature in creation and in others. But we don't have this conversation like I talked to Dominic here. You know, we don't have that. And if you say, oh, I love God, but I don't like that person, I hate that person, you're lying. It says the love of God doesn't reside in you if you have that thought. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? But he's saying that's the reality, that love never fails. And that's where, if you love God, if we have a relationship with God who is love, it should permeate our life. Romans 5 talks about the fact that the love of God is demonstrated throughout our life, that it oozes out of us. We go to 1 Corinthians 13, and you can see love is this, and love is that, and love is this, and love is that. And that is the, it's Colossians 3 as well. Between those two passages to understand how are we to live, what does love look like, what are we to clothe ourselves in, how do we respond, those are the issues. Love is. And it starts in 1 Corinthians 13 that, man, if you ain't got love, keep your mouth shut. Because all people are hearing the yada, yada, yada. Authentic community. Authentic community. Authentic community involves forgiveness. Not asked for, just given. Not keeping a list of grievances of wrongs done. Not holding selfishness, but being selfless. It involves sacrifice. It involves serving. Authentic community involves a realness. A realness that can say, I'm struggling. A realness that say, I'm hurting. A realness that people will say what everybody else knows. I'm not perfect. I'm hurting. But authentic community also deals with love and with grace. And as we come to this community, we need to build this community, because in this community, the world will find hope. They'll find hope. They'll find acceptance, not because of you and me, but because of what God has done in us and is doing through us. We need to build authentic community where we value people and love people. We don't rate them upon our standard. We don't look at them upon our value system. We look at them as God's value system. Where we will be with those who hurt, we will rejoice with those who rejoice, we'll mourn with those who mourn, we'll weep with those who weep. Yes, we'll dance with those who dance, except if you're a Baptist. That was a joke. The reality is we need to reflect the character of God in authentic community. Let's pray. Father, this morning, you create community. You are the source of community. You are the source of love and life. So this morning I pray you would challenge us to be involved in authentic community, to be involved in life groups, to be involved with people, not just to come and to be anonymous or to be isolated, but to come and to be involved in the lives of people. God, if there's someone here today that does not know you as their Savior, help them to realize they are not here by mistake today. Every person is here by design. It may not be why they thought they came, but they're here by your design. If they don't know you as their Savior, I pray as they sit right there, they would open their life to you and give you their life. Father, for those of us who know you and who walk with you and bear your name, may we reflect you to this world. May we reflect you to our community. Thank you for this day. Bind every wound, heal every heart. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Paul.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. What a wonderful message. Go out there, build that authentic community. Thank you guys so much for your sacrificial giving, for your serving. I say it every week, and I will continue to say it. Thank you so much for all that you guys do. It's not happening without you guys, so thank you for getting out of your box and sacrificing and doing that. If you guys want to pray with someone, we got Paul and Terry right over here. They'd love to pray with you guys, or you can write it down and give it to us. We'll be praying for you throughout the week. Thank you guys so much for all that you do. Go this week. Look to build that authentic community where you are. Have a great one. See ya.